Techonomics on KGO 810. On this week's Techonomics, host Jason Middleton jumpstarts the conversation with a veteran Silicon Valley angel investor. Where is the smart money moving for investors? Is virtual reality more than just a flashy headline for tech blogs? Also this week, we look at the free agent market, not for Major League Baseball, but eSports. The editor-in-chief for ESPN Gaming joins Jason for a chat. And is there a drone on your holiday wish list? What about a drone that you could send out in the dark of night to protect your home and family? A Silicon Valley startup wants to turn drones into home security systems. Finally, this week, the original maker of modern-day communications, from wireless networks to podcasts. It all started with a man named Marconi. All that and a little more on this week's Techonomics, starting now on KGO 810.
You must be raving
mad. We're on the air. Look, what's the idea? Come back here.
Well, hello there, and welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. To start the show, we have a successful technology investor. He's an angel investor. He gets in early on companies, about 150 companies so far. And we will talk about investing in 2017, but our conversation went in a different substantive direction as well. And that topic is universal paychecks. As technology and automation create business efficiencies that rip away middle-class jobs, what will happen to those 35 million or so would-be workers? There's an angry, economically neglected electorate out there. Proof positive of that just happened at a presidential election level. Is a guaranteed monthly paycheck per person a solution? There are advocates for just such a thing all along the American political spectrum.
We've already got this base income in a way. It's just through programs. So it's not that radical.
Here's our chat with a one-time outsider who is now an insider, talking about a zeitgeist that overshadows more than just the technology industry.
It's Jason Calacanis, the CEO of Inside.com, an angel investor and author of the new book coming July 11th, Angel.
Coming July the 11th?
July 11th, Angel. I'm 40% done with the book.
Why are you going so quickly, Jason?
Because Harper Business paid me a huge amount of money.
Uh-huh.
And the way these books work is when you hear like the person got an advance, they give you 1/5 on signing, 1/5 on delivery of the manuscript, 1/5 on the publication, 1/5 6 months after, and 1/5 a year after.
Right.
I need that money.
Is it 6/5? Just kidding.
It's something like that.
I wasn't keeping track, Jason.
I need that money.
No, you don't. You're a successful angel investor in
Silicon
Valley.
That's true. I don't need the money.
First of all, congratulations on the signing bonus. Congratulations on the book. We look forward to talking about that
Harper
on the air.
Business.
Once again, Harper Business called Angel, coming out July the 11th. We're speaking with Jason Calacanis, successful angel investor. Okay.
Yes.
But you're ranked in the world rankings of angel investing.
And some people might say I'm in the top five. But
that's what I've seen.
I would like to be in the number one eventually. That's going to take another 10 years of work.
I'm going to stick with the Silicon Valley soullessness. Right. So I've had a lot of guests on recently. We're talking about the backlash we got from the electorate.
Sure.
The empowerment of those economically deprived, those who think they have been wronged. And a lot of that comes from automation and efficiency that comes from Silicon Valley. So when a logging company goes in and takes out a tree, they have to plant a tree. Silicon Valley has no compunction around that kind of thing. Is that Silicon Valley's fault, or should people just adapt?
The issue around automation and jobs is a very important one. I think that if you look at what Trump's been doing the last couple of weeks, you know, he's trying to save jobs, you know, 1,000 jobs at, you know, some air conditioning factory, you know, 50,000 jobs from Masa, from SoftBank, if he's allowed to buy T-Mobile or Sprint, whatever it is. These are small numbers. These are not going to change anybody's fate. In a way, Trump is kind of putting his finger in the dam, and it's cracking, and it's going to come flowing over. If you saw this week, Amazon Go was released as a video, which is a store you can go to, take whatever you want, and walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And through computer vision and sensors, it knows what's in your shopping bag. Retail is, you know, close to 20 million jobs in the United States.
Right.
If you put retail and manufacturing together, it's 30 million jobs. Not great jobs, but they're jobs, right? And we talked before about growing up poor or lower middle class. And those are important jobs to make the rent for a lot of people. And then you throw in truck drivers, cab drivers, livery drivers, drivers in general, you put a couple more million people. So call it 35 million jobs are right in the crosshairs of technology, and they're going away. What percentage go away and when they go away is the only question. 100% or close to 100% will be gone in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump is rearranging the decks on the Titanic. It's not the job of technologists to slow down technology. You know, we had a large number of people who were employed as phone operators connecting phone calls. And that's not a great life for people. And neither is, you know, making coffee for other people all day long, unless you're some artisan. You know, you don't need to be sitting there. This is like ridiculous, you know, every day, you know, somebody's mission in life is to make 100 lattes. You know, it's not great work. And backbreaking work in the fields to pick grapes or avocados or olives, like it's better to be done by technology. We don't want people to be suffering necessarily, but we do have to think about how those people survive in society if, in fact, jobs go away.
And that's a societal thing that becomes a policy thing. And, you know, when we spoke last, Jason—
It's bigger than tech.
Okay, fine. It is bigger than tech. And so is my next question, because you were here 3 months ago last we spoke, I think. And just it was almost a toss away mention at the end of our interview, and you mentioned universal paychecks.
Yeah.
That has popped up again just this week with Elon Musk saying something very similar.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering where you are on that, because are we going to be a society where we have 10 million workers and everybody else is getting a guaranteed paycheck?
We have to think about creative ways to sustain employment. So let's say these 35 million jobs in America I talked about, manufacturing, building
retail.
Stuff, retail, people at stores, and drivers. Let's say all that goes away due to technology. We need to get those people jobs. They need to do something productive. There are a large number of people on food stamps, welfare, unemployment in the country. Anyway, if you take all that money and instead of having these complex programs where people have to wait in line and jump through hoops, and then you just say, everybody's going to pay a certain amount of more tax, and we're just going to give everybody a check every month for $1,000. It's not a lot of money. Certainly not enough to sustain a family. But if two or three people were getting $1,000 a month, the kids, the parents, you could live outside of a city pretty easily.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be this plush life, but it would be a life with more time and less suffering. And it would be less scary, right?
Yes.
So right now, the idea that you would be homeless or not be able to feed yourself in the United States— there are places you can go to get food and to get shelter. There are people here in San Francisco who are choosing to be homeless. There are people who are in poverty. It's all terrible. But the idea of somebody starving to death in the United States is just not possible now. You could go to an emergency room. You can go to a shelter.
Right.
So we've already got this base, you know, income in a way. It's just through programs. So it's not that radical. There are a bunch of different ways to create more jobs. One of the best proposals I've read about, because I've spent many nights, you know, up till 2 or 3 in the mornings thinking about this, because of my background and because of the fact that I invest in companies that would remove jobs from the pool possibly, I think about it and I think about my role in it. And so imagine if we tripled the number of teachers. Triple the number of teachers.
Okay.
Creates a lot of jobs. Imagine we quadrupled the number of people in healthcare, and not only would healthcare be free, but preventative healthcare would be free. So if you want to go to yoga, if you want to get a massage, if you want to go see a doctor, anytime you want. We just quadruple those things in society.
Right.
What if we took the work week and said instead of 5, which is a construct created by humans, and we said the new construct is 4? Or we said the new construct is you work 3 and there's 4 days off. We could do that as a society, as a planet, and we will actually, I predict.
Really?
What if we said, because if you go to 4 days, you create 20% more jobs. You go to 3 days, you create 40% more jobs, right?
See,
each day
of
the week is 20%.
Yes, yes.
And you could double the number of teachers in a classroom or triple them. You could double the amount of nurses and doctors that were available. We all complain about only getting 15 minutes with a doctor. What if the doctor could spend an hour with you? Because we have 4 times as many doctors.
Right. We're smarter. We're healthier. We're more secure.
Feels like a great society, right? It's starting to feel like Star Trek all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And this is completely possible. I believe in our lifetimes, energy will be free. Produce could be free. Basic healthy foods could be free. We could move to a society just like where water is almost free, clean water is almost free in our country. It's de minimis in value. Roads are almost free. We could do this very easily. The other proposal that is just brilliant is, you know, we have a K through 12 system or pre-K through 12. So it's about 14 grades that we pay for. Yeah, why don't we pay for 18?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That doesn't sound radical.
I see that one coming too. Yes.
Bernie Sanders says we're going to give you free college. That's radical. But if you say it the way I say it, we're going to expand pre-K to 14 to nursery school to 14 and as opposed to 12th grade. So
right.
We're going to add 2 years to high school for vocational training, and we're going to add 2 years of nursery school.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound controversial
at all. It's easier to swallow for sure.
Yeah, it's a couple more years. So if we, and it's vocational, it doesn't feel like you're sending kids to go burn through a bunch of money to do liberal arts or some other bullshit.
Right. And we also have a lower teacher to student ratio possibly happening in there, too. Yeah. We may only need 2 years to get to whatever we want to do as far as working goes instead of the 4 year baccalaureate.
And if you force people to retire at a certain age and if you extend the number of years they have to be an apprentice, let's say. So let's say we do my plan, which is everybody goes to 4 days a week, create 20% more jobs.
Okay.
Everybody does 4 more years of school. And then after you get out of school, you can do an apprenticeship for 2 years. You can go work anywhere. You get paid a small salary. You shadow somebody whose job you want. So if you're a radio host, you have somebody here shadowing you.
Right.
They get to learn the craft, and they get paid half a salary. The government pays the other half, whatever. You know, it feels like socialism, but, you know, all the things we're paying for now don't feel like socialism because we got used to them.
That was Jason Calacanis, CEO of Inside.com and a top five angel investor worldwide. We have a longer version of our chat at KGORadio.com and at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio.
There are a bunch of different ways to create more jobs. One of the best proposals I've read about, because I've spent many nights, you know, up till 2 or 3 in the mornings thinking about this because of my background and because of the fact that I invest in companies that would remove jobs from the pool, possibly.
The idea of a universal stipend for every American is a broad topic. So please let us know what you think in the comments on those web pages. We will have more with Jason Calacanis next week when he and I turn our attention to fake news, the fallout of fake news, and Mark Zuckerberg's rather disappointing explanation of fake news, perhaps his lack of clarity. Coming up after this break, we turn to esports, a spectator sport that is gaining not only attention, but also scads of audience and revenue. That's next on Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton. Come on back.